This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jenny hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
I just want to do things my own way, you know.
Another night in another town, in another smoky place. Me and the band were sitting backstage, looking at the face of the lead singer from the opening act who had just left the stage. I saw youthful greatness in his eyes despite his age. He said, "Take a picture, why don't you? Many others have done the same. For I was once called Elvis Presley, but now Jackson is my name." Sat there in silence.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to all four corners of the bluish-green planet that we call our Earth. Coming to you in high-definition audio, or something quite like it, from the hallowed halls of Trinidad World Recording Studios in Fort Worth, Texas. Fans, how are you doing? Happy winter to you. I listen. Can you believe it? Can you believe you've looked down here at your phone? You have gotten the alert somewhere. You saw it on Facebook. A new podcast is available. Oh, and my apologies. How long has it been? A year, maybe? I don't know. Well, last spring, I guess, when our good friend Kurt South was here. What the hell have you been doing, Phil? You're leaving us hanging. We need the news from the front. What's going on in your life, in the business, in the world? What book are you reading? Where are we headed? You haven't come to the firehouse in forever. Why don't you come to Corpus Christi anymore? Are you putting out a new record, Phil? What's going on? You're playing at the mansion all the time, folks. I have had your... I've just been filing away these questions, these responses I get from everybody. So do not think for a minute you have not been heard. If you've emailed me directly or something, you should have gotten a response from me on a lot of these questions. So I wanted to get back here, man. We're getting the podcast going again, keeping up with things. Truth is, I've just been out in the woods, man. I've been working, playing a million gigs, producing a million projects for people. But we got a lot of exciting stuff going on. A lot of changes, a lot of different things, but all fun, all exciting. I think where we start with this is, what I'm thinking. I get a lot of questions about the touring, about when are you coming to this town, this town, this town. For those of you who've noticed, who've been kind enough to come see us in, Lubbock and Beaumont and Corpus Christi and anywhere, Amarillo, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, all these places we've played for the last 20 years routinely as a band, the Phil Pritchett and the full band. Man, I've entered the, I don't know what you call it, I've entered this phase of my career, this phase of my life where it gets difficult to even do these things. We do make it down to play lots of private shows, and that's really where it's at for us right now. Just going to say that off the top. We have ended up with a tremendous amount of work. The band and I, J.W. Blue Marshall on the bass, his brother Richard now playing keyboards with us, most of the time, and our man, the Reverend Cody Frank on drums. We have, ended up landing some great local shows here in Dallas, Fort Worth, at the Mansion Hotel and at the Rustic. Of course, the White Elephant here in the Stockyards. I do an acoustic deal at the Woodshed, the great new little place here on the river in Fort Worth. St. Anne is a little posh dinner place in uptown Dallas that brings me in or the band once a month. So anyway, just been really busy working locally. And I wanted to explain my thinking on this, and I apologize to those of you out there just standing in the cold outside the firehouse and outside of of the surf club and all of our beloved places we played for 20 years or so. Just thinking, when's Phil coming back? When's Phil coming back? But come on, folks, come on. All right, I'm going to lean into the microphone here. Be honest with yourselves. Be honest with yourselves. I think if you looked deep enough, this is how I feel about it. And I think a lot of you feel about it. You know, time rolls on. And while I am still writing songs all the time and for various projects, including a forthcoming album that I'll get into here in a little bit, it is difficult, is it not, for anyone, especially someone like myself with a lot of interests and fortunate to have some abilities to do things, to just do the same thing the same way forever and keep wondering, how do I do better or expecting different things to happen. We've been so fortunate to be able, I've been fortunate to be able to scratch out some kind of a living, you know, going down there and selling CDs and t-shirts and, you know, playing clubs and College Station and God, everywhere else y'all seen us through the years. I don't know, man. Call me a someone who's evolved some bit. You know, you look at these marquees, man. I mean, and the guys coming to town are 23 years old, 25 years old. Granted, most of them suck. I mean, we're the full band, after all. We kick ass. Don't think I don't know that. But the fact is, our fans, you guys, a lot of us have kids and jobs and things, and it's hard for us to go play venues where we start at 11:30 and play till 2 in the morning, like we did for all these years. And it's just gotten to be, I did it forever because there wasn't anything else to do. It's what I did. It's what I knew. It's what we got to do to keep going. And I tell you what, man. I ended up getting our great friend Ryan Harvey, who's a great friend of the full band. He's in the restaurant business, the hotel business. He was managing the hotel bar at the Mansion Hotel. Do you know the Mansion Hotel? Dallas, Texas. Dallas's first, I think, and most premier 5-star resort style hotel. But it's small. It's right there on Turtle Creek, right on the edge of Uptown. And he said, man, you know, we have bands in here on the weekends. I just laugh. I just, whatever, man, come on. We're the full band, dude. We're not some kind of hotel lounge band. What are you, insane? You know, we can't go in there and do our show. It's a tiny little cocktail lounge deal. Well, lo and behold, Ryan says, look, man, look. We're shaking it up over there. We've had a lot of just kind of jazz piano stuff. You know, going on in there through the years, we got some new management. Luke and some other friends of ours have started changing things up a little bit, trying to, you know, alter the musical palette at the Mansion Hotel nightlife thing. You know, why don't you guys give it a shot? What do you have to use? So we said, yeah, what the hell? So we went in there and they have a little PA system, a nice little rig in there, and a little stage. But it's free to get in. Of course, the drinks are expensive. And we rolled in there and we, you know, just pretty much did our thing, man. Nobody was on our ass about do this, do that, get on stage, get off stage, turn it up, turn it down. None of that, man. We kind of went in there and played with our full band, including Richard on keyboards, a 4-piece. And people came in and came out, and, you know, there's a wedding upstairs that let out, and just people flooded in there. We had people from our families were in there, friends were in there, fans were in there, people from all different parts of the country were in there. It was an exciting, very eye-opening. That first gig at the Mansion was really a eye-opening and intoxicating experience, especially for our drummer and some of the other guys in the band. I kid, but anyway, it was a lot of guys in this Texas music deal who play original songs. For a long time, the bane of existence is, I've said this for a million times here on the podcast, but they hate, man, I hate playing weddings, man. They want us to play this and that, and they don't want to play my stuff, man. So, you know, the Texas songwriter with the beard and the backwards hat, he wants to play songs about his girlfriend and about his baby. And that's great. If you have a fan getting married, they're going to love to have you at their wedding. But the fact is, any of those big events like that, and let's be honest, they pay good money. And the better you are at it, the wider variety of stuff you can play, the better off you're going to do, at least on that level. And, you know, I grew up in that stuff, playing Beatles and Van Morrison and Willie and whatever and all that. So I've always prided myself and my band on the fact that, you know, we can kind of play it all, that if we can run off five or six Creedence tunes, or do a Springsteen song, and do a Van Morrison song, and do whatever we want, you know, and trick our way through it. So I've always loved doing the covers, man. So we've always been very good at it, very adept at it. Well, that's kind of what this Mansion gig was. It's more of that kind of atmosphere. We play our own stuff for sure, Phil Pritchett and the full band. But as it gets late, man, people start dancing and stuff. I mean, it's wild in there. I'm telling you what, in that Mansion bar, I have seen more people, just partying and knocking over lamps and furniture. And it's downright wild in there, as wild as I've seen at any of our gigs in recent memory. I mean, think about it. We you know, a lot of these shows we play where we're going on 11:30 and stuff, you've got our fans out there. A lot of us are in our 30s and 40s. They're trying to get home. But, you know, it's not just some exciting wheels off event. No offense to any of you fans out there. I'm just saying it's not like it was, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. It stands to reason. It's a little more sedate, a little more of a listening type thing, which is great. We love that. But these places are a long way to drive for that. What the Mansion has is people staying in the hotel, people who aren't driving anywhere. Or if they are, they live very close by. There's cabs and all this kind of thing. So, and people of all ages, a lot of young people in there, a lot of, you know, people 75 years old and dancing and stuff. So we had a ball. We really had, I was shocked at how fun it was, how easy it was. I mean, you carry in your amp, you play, you leave. We start at 9, and we play till 1 o'clock. So it is late if you want to go late, but if you want to get there early at 9 or 10 o'clock. So after that, I had a lot of feedback from that. People say, man, when are you coming back to the Mansion? And that was so great, and we had such a great time. And you know, the guys at the Mansion said, hey, why don't y'all just come in here every couple of weeks or and so we started playing there regularly. And, you know, when you start doing a local regular gig, it just starts knocking some weekends off your month where you're like, well, we don't want to just be driving to, you know, San Marcos to play. We got the Mansion, you know, Saturday night, all that kind of thing. So it started to just factor into the touring of it. And we're just having a ball with it. And then our Pritchett deal was kind of has really grew into a neat thing. It seemed to be really working with the club and the guests, and people like coming there. We liked playing there. And Richard, our keyboard player, and Blue and Cody, we all kind of got together and said, man, how could we get some more out of this? I mean, we can't just play Phil Pritchett and the full band every weekend at the Mansion or every other weekend. That's kind of overdoing it. So what else could we do to, you know, have another gig there, do something else kind of fun? Well, a band was born. A rock and roll band was born. The British are coming, folks. The British are coming was born out of this confluence of events that I'm describing. Where do I begin to explain? All through my youth, through high school, through college, I was the guy who put on a wig, grabbed a guitar, whatever kind of skit needed to be performed for our fraternity or for my cabin at camp. I was the main actor-performer guy. And I loved nothing more than pretending to be Mick Jagger or one of the Beatles or something like that. This is just part of my DNA. So I think, well, look, let's pull from that. And we will be, the British are coming. So we all got our suits. We wear suits. We wear sunglasses. And man, for the first time in Phil Pritchett and the Full Band history, we got together, listen up, and rehearsed. We rehearsed. Oh, those were torturous, torturous times and sessions for me and the Full Band. Look, when I'm playing my own songs, I've got my catalog out there. Yeah, you know, if we had to get a substitute bass player, drummer on something, they say, when are we going to get together and work on the songs, Phil? I'm like, when? Never. Go to Spotify. Go to iTunes. All my stuff's on there. Here's the set list. Colorado starts like this. Bzz, bzz, ah, chicka, boom, boom. I'll turn around and lead you through it. Bass player, hey man, it's GC&D. Follow me on most of these songs. Learn Maria. It's got some weird changes. That was it. Off we went. Play the gig. Well, now we're doing songs by the Beatles, the Stones, the Kinks, the Animals, the Zombies, Van Morrison, Cat Stevens, whoever else. I mean, all the British stuff. Well, it occurs to us early on, and we probably already had like an hour of British stuff we could do. I said, man, we need to come up with some more British songs, and people know these songs, so you just, there was added pressure doing the tribute British rock band. You had to, if we got up there and screw up, you know, Satisfaction by the Stones, it's going to be freaking embarrassing. If you're doing your own songs, you can shrug and go, ah, well, we meant to do it that time. You know, we're just, you know, if I forget the third verse or something, I just play a solo and end it. Da-da-da-da-bah. You know, big deal. Nobody knows. Oh, it's just Phil, man. He's just, you know, flying by the seat of his pants. There's still definitely that element to the British are coming. There's no doubt. But you do have to have some structure. You got to have the bass player, Blue. He's going to call him the bass player. Playing the right notes on the bridge and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you've got to kind of work on it. So, man, we had some torturous sessions there at Richard and JW's duplex in Uptown. Rehearsing, going over songs, getting songs together. God, it was I mean, some of them worked. Some of them just didn't feel good. But we kind of gotten together three one-hour sets of British material. And we've had a ball with it, man. So, every month now we can go in as Phil Pritchett and the Full Band. Then a couple weeks later, hey, the British are coming. It's a whole different deal. So that's how I went to the club. I said, look, we don't want to overdo the full band here, but what if we had a whole entirely different band on another night of the month? And they said, oh, man, that'd be great. So the mansion just couldn't be cooler. Ryan and Luke and everybody bringing us in there. Danny Tendon Bar. It's a family atmosphere. It's a night at summer camp. The drinks are expensive, yes, but it's free to get in. So, man, you got Pritchett and the Full Band. The British are coming. Do we hang the big Union Jack British flag behind us? We got a little staging on it. We got our suits, our sunglasses. I talk in a British accent between songs, making jokes about, you know, we just joke around about Dallas or, you know, Rod Stewart was in the bar. Rod Stewart was in here the other night, and he had his wife with him, but she was too young, far too young to order a drink. You know, stuff like that. You know what? We're doing an act, man. We're doing a show here. The British are coming. It is irreverent. It is as crazy rock and roll as you can get. I mean, Richard, our 7-foot-tall keyboard player, in his suit, his hair everywhere, gets the tambourine out and pogos around the stage. It's a riot, man. So, it has been, and it's such a relief for me, man. No offense to my old way of doing things, of course, which I'm proud of, but gosh, I mean, think about sitting in your van outside of the Cheatham Street or the firehouse, and it's a cold night, it's raining, and there's not as many people coming to the club, and you're wringing your hands like, gosh, man, how are we going to pull this off? There's going to be nobody here, and there's nobody coming in, it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. You've driven 5 hours that day to get to the gig, you're playing, you're driving 5 hours back that night. It starts to wear on you. I think it starts to wear on anybody. So the fact that I can just drive to Dallas, get my amp out of the car in my suit, and just start blazing balls through the Kinks. Are you kidding me? With no repercussions, with nothing to worry about, no pressure about anybody being there. So there's always people in that place, always people at the mansion. They're always drinking. No one goes there to study. Everyone there is there to have a good time. So, man, a party breaks out every time we play. So anyway, that's kind of the long and short reason that the gig at the Mansion has been a real rebirth for me as a musician, I think, in a lot of ways, in the band. We're all having fun again. I was just starting to lose interest, being perfectly frank, not in my music, not in pleasing the fans and all that, but in just the traveling and just showing up in a club and just hoping people show up every time and feeling like, man, we were just here a couple months ago in Huntsville, where, and man, we don't have a new album. We don't have new t-shirts. Why are we even here? I mean, there's nothing, we're not doing anything new. We want to give people a chance to see us play. But, going forward, we are, of course, always for hire. We'll come play in your backyard, on your deck, at your ranch, anywhere. All you got to do is text me, or shoot me an email, phil@philpritchard.com. We've redesigned our website, by the way, philpritchard.com. There's a British Are Coming website you can check out there, a new Trinidad website. So we've redone everything there as well. So we will come play anywhere for anybody all the time. Have no fear. But if you're waiting around for us to just kind of roll through Lubbock on our way to Amarillo, take this as a bulletin, man, that's just not going to be how we're going to be doing performances and business in the immediate future. I mean, who knows? I mean, we already talk about, man, let's go out. We'll put, 20, 30 dates on the calendar next year and go out and do a bunch of just original shows. But I think that'd be a lot more productive use of our time and of your time as the fans. I mean, think about it. You're in Houston or Corpus or Amarillo. Rather than Phil rolling through town 4, 5, 6 times a year, and you're like, oh, I saw him a couple months ago, and there's, sometimes there's a good crowd, sometimes there's not, sometimes the weather's good, sometimes it's not, sometimes he's got CDs, sometimes he doesn't. You just put a date in Houston on the calendar next year, and we send the All Points Bulletin out. Look, we're coming in full band, all of us kicking ass on this night in April. If you call yourself a fan and you've been bitching about us not coming, this is your chance. Do not miss it. Get a babysitter, whatever. And don't go on stage at 11:30. Go on stage at 9 o'clock, and do a show once a year and just, don't miss it. And man, we'll get everybody there. It'll be a gathering of the tribe, a reaffirmation of all things rock and roll, and that'll be it. And then we'll see you next year. So that's kind of, I think, in the current era, the most prudent way for us to, get out there and be productive with each performance. Are y'all following me on this? I want you to hear this and think Phil has not abandoned us. He has not given up, and far from it. I mean, we're just changing up the way we do things to play and do our deal and make a living and all that. Well, what else is going on, Phil? I'll tell you what, man. We've been producing. We have produced a record over at Richard and JW's place there in Uptown, the Trinidad Dallas wing of the operation, I call it. There at Richard and JW got a duplex, and one side of it is a studio with all of our great gear in there. And a kid named Brandon Aguilar from Austin. I can't remember if I talked about Brandon. I don't know if we were doing the record. But in the last couple of months, Brandon came in. He's a great singer-songwriter. His girlfriend Sarah is a great singer, male-female harmony. He's doing 5 or 6 songs, EP kind of thing. Well, we started getting into the recording of it. This was a couple months ago. And he, at that point, reveals that he is not just making this record as all the others do. And, hey, I'm going to make the album, put it on iTunes, and go on my merry way, which is great. He says, I'm going to do that, Phil, of course. But I'm also pressing vinyl. Pressing vinyl LPs. So I stand up in my chair and I just do a backflip with this information. Ecstatic. This is going to be the first thing that I have recorded and produced that was going to be meant for vinyl record release. All of y'all who know me and listen to the podcast know I collect records and everything. They haven't gone away. A lot of people go, there's a resurgence of vinyl. I mean, I think that's true. But they haven't gone away. There's still lots of vinyl records out there. And these days, man, if you're going to want to be in the Ryan Adams Wilco area, man, you probably need to put it on vinyl. I mean, and then you will exist among a very small cadre of groups, Modest Mouse, you know, Avett Brothers, what have you, that make records. So people in those stores to pick up the new vinyl release of Jack White's album, right, you have your stuff in there too. That sets you apart from the billions that just put their stuff on Spotify and iTunes digitally. So to have physical product and making a CD doesn't do you any good, and those aren't anywhere. So you've got vinyl. It's a viable deal and was a viable thing for Brandon to do. So he calls his band Tahoma, T-A-H-O-M-A. We record this beautiful, wonderful album. Brandon played all the instruments. He played our 1958 Gibson Hummingbird acoustic. Recorded the whole thing in Dallas at our studio there. Sarah, his girlfriend, sang on it. Male-female harmony, some real atmospheric guitar and drums. And anyway, so he sends me, it was just such a thrill, man, to get that shrink-wrapped LP, man, with Brandon and Sarah on the cover. It just thrilled me to death, man. So I've got now, you know, four or five copies of Tahoma's LP in my house that I play for everybody. I mean, I'm always playing samples from stuff we record. I go online. Oh, we did this thing. Check it out. People nod their head and listen. But, man, you hand them a record and say, well, we did this. And you drop the needle on something you did. It was a fantastic feeling and a real achievement for myself and a dream come true. And, man, it was great to be nervous again. I was nervous as hell. I sent Brandon the mixes. And he said, all right, man, I'm taking it to the pressing plant. And, you know, they have to listen to it and see if there's any sonic problems and everything. So, man, I was sweating bullets because I'm like, man, the guy's going to call back and say, you know, what's this, man? Your low end is all over the place. I just didn't know. I mean, I mixed it to where I thought it sounded great. And, you know, I said, man, this should just be great. You should be able to cut it right on the vinyl, no problem. So, you know, when you're cutting a vinyl, there's a million different you know, EQ things and volume and dynamic considerations in the mix that can play into it. So it was I just read as much as I could online about mixing for vinyl. Like, you can't just have the levels, you know, maxed out and your bass panned to one side. The needle will actually skip out of the groove. You know, there's lots of physical limitations to pressing vinyl. There's no question about it. So I was just, I've always known about all this stuff, but I was really trying to heavily submerge myself in all this vinyl mixing for vinyl information as we prepared Brandon's record. And much to my joy, I just sent it off, and the pressing plant guy said, man, it sounds great, and this is great. And they just cranked it right out, and it sounds fantastic on the Pritchett Home stereo system. It just came out great. So, we're moving forward with, I got this great singer, Abby Peck, friend of ours here in Dallas, is going to be coming in here in the next month or so, working on a record, and maybe she'll press some vinyl. Who knows? So, making vinyl here at Trinidad World Recording Studios over at JW and Richard's studio there in Uptown Dallas, and also still recording here at the Big Room in Fort Worth. We'll be doing Abby's project there as well in Fort Worth, tracking in the Big Room, mixing it and overdubbing there at Richard's. And anyway, that's the state of things, folks. Have I cleared things up? I hope this is a good report. I hope you hear this podcast and think, oh, man, this is good. Hadn't heard podcast in forever. This is a good update from Phil. He's out there playing. He's active. He's moving around. But this is, you know, kind of his new, you know, what's going on now with the studio and the podcast and the Phil Pritchett and the full band and the British are coming. And the bottom line is for all of you out there, if you get together with a friend, a couple of people, and just say, look, man, let's pool some resources and call, email Phil and just say, let's have a party. It can be you guys. It can be the British. Both the British are coming, can open for Phil and the full band. We've done that before, too. Just let us know, man, and we will do it. That is the best way to get us to Corpus or Amarillo or Beaumont. If you hadn't seen us in a while, or your city or your company's having a Christmas party or a festival, just say, look, man, let's get Phil to do it. and the guys, and it'll just be kick ass. So that's my advice to in the immediate future. If you're not in Dallas, Fort Worth, and can't make it to the White Elephant or the Mansion, one of these, and you need that fix, man. That is the way to fix it, and we will come a running. I'm telling you. So, folks, that is all we have for this new, long-awaited podcast and update. I hope it all finds you well. Please respond, philip@philpritchard.com. Let me know that you hear it, that somebody's out there listening. Hello! And we will be in touch, man. We're going to get these rolling again, the podcast, staying in touch. But wanted to bring you up to speed on all things P2 full band, British are coming, Trinidad world recording, etc. The truth is there's more going on than ever. That's why I haven't podcasted too much. But we're reaching a little place we can kind of get it rolling again. And I've got a lot of plans to revamp the whole thing. So let's meet again very soon, folks, here on the P2 podcast. And everybody have a great year, a great winter as winter settles in here. I wish you all well. Call me. We'll come play for you. Phil@philpritchard.com or call me 817-733-5256. And we'll see you soon out there, folks. Hopefully sooner than later. Much tougher.
God save the king. He said it's not as easy as it looks to live as royalty. God save the king. He said I never died, I was just tired of living in Tennessee.